Welcome to the ERMI podcast. I'm Joel Applebaum, the Chief Content Officer for ERMI and Captive.com. Today we have the privilege of welcoming Commissioner Carter Lawrence, who serves as the Commissioner of the Tennessee Department of Commerce and Insurance. Commissioner Lawrence brings a wealth of experience to the table, having previously served in a variety of roles in the department. Join us as we delve into the insightful discussion on Tennessee's unique captive insurance landscape. Commissioner Lawrence, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
All right. Well, thank you, Joel. It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate the introduction, and I especially appreciate not going through the complete bio. I really appreciate in lots of introductions, I get that full formal introduction with the biography, but it can be a little bit too much. Thought I could maybe tell you a little bit about myself and how I got to the role that I'm in without having to go through that formal bio. So in a nutshell, I'm a native Tennessean, native of the Nashville area. And other than leaving the area for my education, I've been here my whole life. For education, I went to Wheaton College, a small Christian liberal arts school in the Chicagoland suburbs for my undergraduate degree. Moved back to Tennessee and got involved in politics, worked for Tennessee's last governor, Bill Haslam, on his race, and then served in his administration before I left the administration to go to law school and also got a business degree while I was doing that. Finished up, passed the bar, got back into the political world, and found myself a few years after that at Commerce and Insurance. And I've been really privileged to serve in, like you mentioned, a variety of roles in the department, an assistant commissioner, deputy commissioner. And now for the last 3.5 years, I've had the truly privilege of a lifetime as serving as the commissioner of the Tennessee Department of Commerce and Insurance.
Well, that's awesome. Many of our listeners might actually know that I'm a native of Chicago and I live right next to Wheaton. So small world.
Small world indeed. Absolutely. Well, we can connect later on about which deep dish you prefer. My opinion on it as well. But I got to say, the thing that I miss more than Chicago deep dish is Italian beef.
Oh,
can't beat it. But yeah, I get up to Wheaton every so often for a class reunion.
Oh, well, that's super awesome. Thank you, Commissioner. Hey, Tennessee is one of the older U.S. captive domiciles, right? And its captive law was enacted in 1978. But since then, the law has been updated many times. I would like it if you could enlighten our listeners on the history behind Tennessee's establishment as a captive insurance domicile, including maybe just kind of the key events and factors that led up to its emergence as a captive domicile.
Sure. Yeah, thanks for the question. So you're right. Our history as a captive domicile does go back all the way to 1978. But unfortunately, the state of Tennessee did not do much with the statutory regime that was created for captives at that time. So it really wasn't until 2011 that our captive laws were dramatically updated to give us the platform for the growth that we've experienced since then. So I do want to give a shout out to my former boss, former Commissioner Julie McPeak, who shepherded through under Governor Haslam's leadership those captive laws and put in place the, like I mentioned, the framework for what we have today. So since that point, we've seen a lot of growth. I suspect you might want to ask about some of that later, so I won't steal your thunder. But we've got a really robust framework for captives thanks to that 2011 reenactment of our statute.
Great. One of the things that was always a hot topic at captive meetings is what specific attributes or regulations distinguish Tennessee in the captive insurance landscape, right? Everybody's like, what does this domicile offer me? And what sets it apart from other captive domiciles in terms of attracting businesses to establish captive insurance companies? I mean, the big obvious one is Tennessee's super cool, right? Great
absolutely.
Place to visit. You got Nashville. And you.
Well, I don't think I'm much of a draw, but the city of Nashville certainly is. And I'll come back to some of the other things. But just to pick up with Nashville itself, that Tennessee is fairly centrally located within the United States. I've heard it said before that 80% of the country can be accessed within a day's drive. So from a logistics and transportation perspective, it makes a lot of sense for businesses to relocate to Tennessee, but that's the same reason why it's easy to visit Tennessee. As someone who I'm sure, like yourself, Joel, has to attend a lot of conferences, I like not having to fly too far. And so from Tennessee, that's fairly easy, but can be a little bit more of a challenge getting over to the West Coast or going to the Northeast. So huge advantage for Tennessee is its location. Nashville, obviously, is a very popular city. It was more than a decade ago that we were given the moniker of It City, and it's wild to see how much growth has happened. So for any of your listeners that have not been to Tennessee, haven't been to Nashville in a while, would invite you to come on down. I'm not the commissioner for tourism. That's a whole separate department. But you know, I think all Tennesseans are really proud of the growth that we've had here and the way that the state has managed it. But back to your question and kind of what sets us apart, talk kind of broadly about the state of Tennessee's approach to serving its customers and then talk about commerce and insurance. So the state of Tennessee focuses on its customers, and that's baked into our DNA from a requirement that we have of talking about reporting on our customer-focused metrics and the ways in which we serve our customers. So we track everything from the amount of time it takes for us to respond to a customer to, of course, the things that you would think about, how long it takes for us to license an entity. We need to know that because we need to know the impact that we have. We also, speaking of impact, understand that our staffing and the cost that we have associated with that play into the way in which we serve our customers. So I'm proud to share that our division of insurance is the most efficient division of insurance in the United States, according to statistic that came out from NAIC, in which compare the amount of premium written in a state to the amount of, to the number, excuse me, of Department of Insurance employees in a particular state. And so while that metric being first or, you know, even in the top 10 might not be the most important piece, I think what is important is the focus that we have on being lean, being efficient for the benefit of our customers. And speaking of being lean, we have 15-ish phenomenal employees working in our captives insurance section who are dedicated to customer-focused government, like I mentioned earlier, and making sure that all of the applicants, all of the companies that we have are well served and that they get the top-notch experience that they deserve. So that's the focus. And I think that's what sets us apart, the knowledgeable staff that is focused on bettering their education, their experience, and making sure that we bring that to bear when helping our customers.
Yeah, so many people come to captive.com and looking at domiciles, it seems like a big question that they have is regulatory framework. So can you give me some, let's dig a little deeper and give me some insights into the regulatory framework governing captive insurance in Tennessee, including any recent development or trends that our listeners might be interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think might be of interest to your listeners is the general approach that we have in Tennessee about how those regulatory framework changes come about. So we have a really close relationship with industry in our state. And of course, we're the regulators, so we might not always see exactly eye to eye, but our promise is that there won't be surprises and that we explain our reasoning. And that's across all of the areas that we regulate in commerce and insurance, but specifically here talking about captives. So that close relationship with industry allows us to interact with them in a positive way daily. In fact, just yesterday was the Tennessee Captive Insurance Association Day on the Hill, and I spent some time up in our legislative office complex talking with TCIA board members as they were going and meeting with legislators. So that relationship that we have with them that's really close is also a component of a close relationship with the General Assembly, where then that's the name that we have for our legislative body, who really understands the importance of captives as an important tool in the toolkit for risk mitigation as a business component. So the executive branch, the legislative branch, industry all work together to create a really positive regulatory framework. And so we essentially take turns with legislative changes, fixes that are needed, because, of course, as you know, as all your listeners know, this isn't a static field. It's very dynamic and laws have to change as well. And that's something that we've taken to heart in Tennessee with regular changes to our laws to make sure that we offer the most competitive and business-tailored legal framework possible. So this year, pending right now, is a legislative package that's been shepherded by TCIA, so by industry, working with the legislative branch. Now, next time that there's a need for changes, you know, those probably come from us, from the department, from the executive branch side. But the point is, we have a really close working relationship. And so those changes can come from either side. And no matter who's proposing legislative fixes, we're always talking with the other side of that coin. So this is probably more than you wanted to know, Joel, but the way it works in Tennessee when legislation is proposed, from the department perspective, we reach out and get comments from the industry that we're regulating. Likewise, when industry had some proposals, they came to us, chatted with us about our understanding of them, how we felt about them. And that's how we ended up with a package that's cruising through both our House and Senate and is ultimately, you know, I'm sure going to be signed off by both chambers and by the governor as well to come into law. So really long way of saying, I think we have a collaborative approach to updating our regulatory framework that has worked really well for us, with no signs of anything changing anytime soon.
But that's a great way. Obviously, you've had some success. You've been building on this. And I feel like captive is becoming a more mainstream insurance alternative, probably not deserving of the original term in from the 70s as alternative risk transfer type of market. Maybe you can fill us in on what are some of the current trends and challenges facing the captive insurance industry, both nationally from your perspective and within Tennessee, and how specifically Tennessee is addressing these challenges and adapting to emerging trends.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me first pick up with a fun Tennessee-specific story that a lot of your listeners might not be aware of. So the state of Tennessee established its own captive insurance company in 2022. So the Tennessee Captive Insurance Company, which is part of Treasury, was set up to capture additional efficiencies and savings in insuring state property. So I'm a big Tennessean and, of course, a big Tennessee Vols fan. And so it's really fun for me to think about Neyland Stadium, the crown jewel of Tennessee athletics, being a piece of Tennessee Captive Insurance Company's risk management as part of Treasury. So that's a really fun piece, and you know, maybe not all that relevant for a lot of your listeners. But again, that goes back to what I was touching on earlier about our flexibility as the regulators to say, how can we help figure out this problem? What are potential solutions that we can offer from a regulatory perspective? And that sort of approach is, I think, unfortunately going to be increasingly necessary because of some of the really big challenges that exist, like cyber. We all see daily or at least weekly in the news about massive cyber breaches. In fact, we all probably get notices that our data has been stolen. Certainly happens to me all the time. That's a really difficult risk to properly understand and to properly insure. And I think that stands as a specific area of opportunity for captives to continue to capitalize upon. And we want to make sure that from a regulatory perspective, we're doing all that we can to facilitate that.
Awesome. So maybe it would help for our listeners' purpose to share a success story of businesses that have flourished under Tennessee's captive insurance regulations. Could you highlight some practical examples to illustrate the impact of your flexibility and your ability to work with the businesses that have captives for their challenges?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me first caveat that we have a statutory requirement for confidentiality. So we take that very seriously. I hope your listeners will appreciate that we don't talk about any of the captives without permission from the parent company. But having said that, if you look at the companies across Tennessee, you know, you'll see plenty of Fortune 500s and up, regional companies, small businesses that could have a need for a captive and have looked at Tennessee for that. In fact, I guess I can talk about, because I think it was made public on our platform with the permission of International Paper about their redomiciling of a component of their captive into Tennessee. After they saw our growth as a captive domicile and our ability to deal with complexities and decided that Tennessee was the right place for them to come back home. And so we have a lot of those that I'm looking at my team to know what I can and can't talk about. And we'll have to maybe follow up with some additional information, but we're really proud of the growth that we've had and being able to meet. First and foremost, we want to make sure that for those Tennessee-based and those regional companies that we're providing the solutions that they need, but of course, welcoming all as well.
Awesome. Well, maybe we start wrapping this up with who are the stakeholders and how can they work together to foster innovation, promote transparency, and address any challenges within the captive insurance ecosystem in Tennessee?
Yeah, so let me call back to the earlier question where I was talking about industry broadly, which is obviously an encompassing term that includes the captive managers, accounting firms, actuarial firms, law firms, all of the service providers that are involved with captive creation and management. And those are all across our state. But of course, with Nashville now our largest city, there's a concentration here in Nashville. So we have, like I mentioned, a daily, near daily communication with all of those stakeholders individually, but collectively through the Tennessee Captive Insurance Association, who does a good job of marshaling them through meetings and the roadshows that we have where we promote Tennessee and the captive service providers at everything from social events to the annual conference that happens here in Nashville. I think the size and knowledge of our stakeholders is just one more valuable asset to attracting additional captive formations and domiciling right here in the volunteer state.
Awesome. So looking ahead, what is the outlook for captive insurance in Tennessee? Are there any upcoming regulatory changes or initiatives that businesses or customers or our listeners would want to be aware of that's going to happen in Tennessee? What's exciting and new there?
Yeah, well, let me focus here just on the pieces that are inside my lane of as Commissioner at Commerce and Insurance.
Yep.
And I mentioned at the start of our conversation about our focus on serving the customers and on efficiency. And that is the core of what we do here in state government, in Tennessee state government. It's the core of what we do and who we are at the Department of Commerce and Insurance. So we are always looking at ways to streamline. And one thing that we're looking at right now is streamlining our exam process. And I can't get ahead of the governor and of the passage of his budget, but publicly available that the governor has proposed now at the request of the department, the governor has included in his proposed budget for actuaries that we'd be able to hire. And up to this point, we've only ever relied on contract actuaries, which is great. And we don't look to entirely move away from that model, but we think it's important for us to have in-house actuaries to build our knowledge base and to supplement from the contract actuaries. So that's one change that has only in the last week and a half been something that I've been able to publicly talk about, but of course it hasn't passed. It's going to need the support of the General Assembly as part of a massive budget proposal. You know, a couple of actuaries are not that big. But there's no reason to think that the governor's proposal won't be successful. And we're really appreciative of that support that Governor Lee continues to show for Commerce Insurance broadly and captives specifically. So that's one example of us focusing on how we can best serve our customers. And like I said, that goes to the core of who we are. So into the future, I think that will result in more growth in Tennessee, especially going back to what we discussed about the semi-hardening market. So as more companies find captive insurance a fitting risk vehicle, I'm confident that Tennessee will be an attractive domicile for them.
Well, that's actually an exciting thing. I actually was a chief actuary at one time in the Chicagoland area, and I think that pricing and reserving and the services that from an actuarial standpoint that can be brought to customers, that's really important to have consistency. So I hope that passes for you. And as we conclude today's episode, I want to extend a very special thanks to you, Commissioner Carter Lawrence, and also to the Tennessee Department of Commerce and Insurance and Captive Insurance Section and its support of Captive.com. Your commitment to our podcast, very deeply appreciated. But our community's growth doesn't stop here. If you've been inspired by our content or are looking for a way to contribute, consider sponsoring through Captive.com by becoming a sponsor. You're not just supporting our podcast, you're investing in a platform that amplifies voices and ideas that matter in the captive insurance industry. Visit Captive.com to learn more about captives in general, about the Tennessee domicile if you want, and your support means the world to us, and together we can continue to bring more amazing free content your way. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to share our next episode with you.